Good morning, everyone, and good morning, chaps. A brisk and chirpy 8:15 a.m. kickoff today, as we are determined to get you the content you need in good time ahead of the weekend. Welcome to the Green Arrow podcast from Fantasy Football Hubs. We look ahead to game week 20, full of turkey, beer, and mince pies. My name is Fergie. Adam, welcome back. How was your Christmas, and what colour was your arrow in game week 19?
Yeah, a very good Christmas, thank you very much. It's probably like a lot of people with friends, family, ate too much. So yeah, and from a Villa point of view, not great, but FPL is gone much better.
I'm flying.
Yeah, my transfers, although they've probably been pretty boring, have worked out okay. So over the Christmas period, I think I've two or three game weeks ago, I'm going to have a quick look at my game week history, but I think I was around the 800,000 mark, and now I'm just approaching the top 200k. So it's been a good few game weeks. The one that's just gone, so game week 16, 800k, game week 19, 218. So it's gone well. I've had 13 green arrows in a row since wildcard, which is a nice stat, isn't it, in itself?
Wow.
So I'm probably, you know, like Villa's home record, I'm due a red arrow, aren't I?
Blit.
So that's the way I see it. Things are aligning too well at the moment. I'm happy with my squad. It's got red arrow written all over it this sort of game week. But the one that's just gone, like a lot of people, got the goalkeepers wrong. I went to Dubravka instead of Areola. I got Porro's assist, and it was nice for him to pick up a couple of bonus as well. I mean, I watched the last 10 minutes of that game, and it was when he put that ball in. I mean, he had a shot just after, which where he could have scored as well. So he has been a great transfer, purely because he's just so fun to own.
He's brilliant, isn't he? And he's petrified when you don't own as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I think every Spurs attack, every set piece, you're not going to get any clean sheets out of him, but you're not really getting clean sheets from anyone. So delighted with Porro. Gabriel got one, but I was fortunate enough to play him the week before where he scored. Trent's my transfer in, got eight, and he got bonus with a yellow card, which is, you know, good to see. I think I had a few of the, I think in our ultra group, there's quite a few people asking about should they captain Trent, and I think my response was, I think he's a good shout, but it's brave to go against the likes of Salah, and I prefer the attackers. But I think he is starting to come into the captaincy equation, particularly with certain players going away on AFCON and Asian Cup duties. And then nothing great across the rest of the team. So Son got an assist, Saka blanked, Salah nothing, Bowen got an assist and a clean sheet. So he's been a really good
player. He's been good for you, haven't he?
He's just been so consistent. Yeah. And the thing I'm trying to do and with my team is pick 90 minute players where I can, and ones that consistently have got that FPL pedigree. And then I've got up front Watkins blanks again. He didn't really even look in the game at Old Trafford. Sankey with a penalty. Finally, Bournemouth got a penalty, so we can confirm he is the penalty taker. That's taken a while. And Archer with a nice little assist when I needed him. So all in all, 48, another green arrow. So yeah, fairly positive.
Very well played, Adam. Absolutely flying at the moment. Yeah, but Bowen for you has been a really nice one, because those of us who've held Gordon the last few weeks have been a bit frustrated, whereas as Bowen is, he's just been like a bit of an upgrade on Gordon, haven't he? And he scores nearly every game, doesn't he? Or gets a return nearly every game, and that new role he's playing in with that.
But West Ham are going very well as well, aren't they, as a team?
And they've got a really good home game, haven't they, this week?
Brighton at home. But I think the good thing about Bowen is he is actually fixture-proof, because they have done well in the tougher games. And even if you look in the Carabao Cup, he scored against Liverpool away. He can score versus anyone. He doesn't haul very often, but I'm all right with that. I think if he's just ticking along nicely. So yeah, he's been good.
Welcome back, Rich. How was your Christmas, and what colour was your arrow in game week 19?
Yeah,
great Christmas from a family perspective, but yeah, really up and down world in FPL. I don't think the picture of last night really tells the story for me. I think I got into the previous week, because we did a double pod last week for two game weeks. I think my frustrations with Eddie Howe reached a peak just before Christmas, when his bullshit bingo just, you know, got to its absolute worst over the likes of Fabian Scher and Alexander Isak, et cetera, et cetera. There was more sort of will they, won't they play tomfoolery going on. I was in a bit of a state with the goalkeepers. I had Matt Turner under a new manager and the injured Sanchez in my team. Also, you know, didn't have yet owned Pedro Porro, had to get a third defender in, didn't know Scher was going to start, which he obviously then did, didn't know Isak was going to start, which he obviously then did, which hand Eddie Howe shared none of that with us. So I talked myself into a -8 just before Christmas. Went for Pedro Porro and Martinez after 15 wins in a row for Aston Villa. Martinez decided to concede against Sheffield United in the 87th minute. I think Adam was at that game. I was watching that game. Yeah. You can imagine me just screaming in my living room.
I was thinking of the peer review at that. I was thinking of Adam, obviously, at the stadium, yeah. And I knew you'd brought in Martinez, Rich. So I was thinking of the peer review. Yeah.
Exactly. And so that was a nice kick in the teeth just before Christmas. And then your last game, it was all right. I mean, but I did bring in Solanke a week later after the, so I got him in for his hat trick. So kind of the hit paid for itself if you add the three together. So I sort of talked myself into the fact that it was okay for the long term. Team looked all right on paper going into last night, but it was one of those I'll just go to bed moments at the end of that Arsenal game, you know, having three Arsenal players, the clean sheet's gone in the first 10 minutes, et cetera, et cetera. And although, you know, Porro and Son got some late assists, you know, they got absolutely gubbed last night, didn't they by Brighton, Tottenham.
I think Brighton was superb in all things. Worrying. I think Brighton were very good. I think while Spurs kind of weren't at it, I think that Brighton caught them off guard a bit, and Brighton were absolutely superb. So very well
played. They were great, weren't they? Yeah. So poor week last night. Previous week I got a green. I've just been bobbing around the million mark and can't seem to make any consistent inroads. So it's tough at the moment, but we're halfway, you know, and it's a challenge with 19 weeks to go to see how high I can climb. But yeah, it's going to be a slog for the second half of the season.
You'll be fine, mate. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
I scored 43. I've been hovering around the 400k rank now. I had a big jump from just inside a million to 400k about three game weeks ago, and for 3 weeks now I've been kind of hopping around 400k. 43 this week. Brought Trent in this week for Simicat, which is my recommended transfer as well on Hub AI. He's just a man in form, isn't he? Rich, I think you need to think about how you can get him in, mate, at some
point.
So? I think so. He's a man on form.
He looks great. He looks absolutely great.
Well, I've got two frees this week. That's one good thing I've got. So let's talk about that, because I could probably get to him.
Well, your recommended transfer is an interesting one. I'll share. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'll share it with you in a bit.
Keen to discuss that.
I also went for Dvorabka over Areola. I think you said it was a mistake, Adam, but I don't. I mean, you know, you look at the fixtures; it's what they are. They were home to Forest when they Newcastle, Areola away to West Ham. Was that right?
No. I don't think it was a mistake. Okay. I think it's. It's one of those that, you know, when we talk about set and forget goalkeepers,
I think it's one
of those that I'd whack it in that box, because we do talk about, you do get these occasional upside games where they get rack up the saves, consequently get the bonus. So that's what I meant. Yeah. I don't think logically it would make sense to not play Dvorabka over.
No, if you had the choice, there's no way you'd play Areola away
of course.
To Arsenal, would you?
Of course.
No way would you decision. That would be, you'd be a poor decision. But, you know, the Areola thing is so ironic. I mean, if you go back 3 weeks, only 3 weeks, the 8th of December, you know, he's got his goalkeeper with a wrist injury. You know, you sell him, right? You sell him. Okay, can you play Premier League football when you've got a wrist injury? You can't, can you? So the logical thing is to sell Areola. I do that. And then he comes back and keeps two clean sheets on the bounce.
I
mean,
you
can't make it up, can you? You
know, I know.
It's ridiculous, man.
Played Archer, which was good. Played Gordon. So, you know, it's been kind of nice knowing with Gordon. He's an injury risk. He seems to be flagged just all the time, but he always plays. Didn't return this week, which was the difference, I think, between mine and your team there, Adam. So just a one point of difficult one. But overall, again, quite happy with the progression of the team. Got the main players that I want, I think. I think looking forward, I'm definitely going to Bowen. He just looks absolutely fantastic. And short term, maybe some Man City as well, because they've got some really good fixtures coming up. So we will have a chat about that next. Welcome everyone in the chat. Thank you for joining us this morning. Helga, good morning from Norway. Still got Haaland. Interesting. We'll have a chat about Haaland next. Kai is in. FPL Springbok, good morning. It's been a while since catching you guys live. Gareth Robinson is joining us from California. Brandon is in. Siddhant is in from India. Blessing Osiri. D-Web is joining us on his run, which is great. Tim Pardo, Gareth Robinson asks, Foden or Alvarez? I'll be asking that in a few minutes, chaps, as well. Alexander is in. Hector says, finally caught alive. Pieter is in. I want to feel the same way about something that Haaland looked after his goal. Absolutely. That was a relief moment for him, for sure, wasn't it? Vignac is in. Wild card in game week 17 and moved up from 300k to 25k. Those are big, big moves.
Very nice.
Superb. Nuisance BS is in, as is Shakalaka, and Russell Skidmore says Budapest Blades. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us this early morning in the UK. And Josh Hall is in as well, as we prepare to look ahead to yet another weekend of football. It's been absolutely relentless, but really, really enjoyed it as well. I think at times it can get on top of you when, remember the COVID era and all the rearrangements. I think that's when, for me, it kind of got a bit unmanageable. But now we know, you know, the fixtures are set, they're in. You can kind of play with a bit more certainty, can't you?
Yeah, you can pick and choose which games you watch a little bit.
Exactly.
You know, it was death by a thousand cuts before. It doesn't quite feel like that before.
Looking at the Hub Mini League Analyzer, you can look yourself at footballhub.co.uk, my team. Go to Mini Leagues. At the moment, Adam, we haven't looked at this for a while. Adam is storming ahead at the moment. He's on 1,099 points. I'm on 1,082, so I'm only 17 points behind Adam. Rich at the moment, 105.2. Not on the best of times, Rich, but like we say, we're sure you'll be back come the second half. And you've got, and in these mini leagues, we also have Game Week Awards. Adam this week hit the award for Lucky FC. There are 11 awards in total. So just make sure, again, go to fansfootballhub.co.uk, go and have a look at your own mini leagues. It tells you the transfers people have made, captains, points, hits, live rank, everything you want to know there. We are running to the end of our offer. So we have our offer on, which finishes tomorrow. And if you want to use the full power of Fantasy Football Hub for FPL, you can now do so for a full 30 days free. This includes our My Team feature, including recommended transfers, predicted points, dedicated WhatsApp group for pro members, and so much more. Don't forget, it's all on the FFH app too. An absolute no-brainer if you want to do well. FPL is free still for 30 days. Give it a go. You won't be disappointed. But this offer does end at the deadline tomorrow. So if you haven't had a go, have a go. You may as well. Just, you know, if you don't enjoy it, just cancel within 30 days. There will be no charge at all. But it is an absolute no-brainer for anyone wanting to do well at FPL. Okay, let's have a look at the fixtures for the coming weeks. Top of the ticker for the next six game weeks. Man City, home to Sheffield United. What a fixture that is. Away to Newcastle. What a fixture that is at the moment, because they're really, really struggling. Mm-hmm. And then home to Burnley as well. And after that, they also go away to Brentford, home to Everton, home to Chelsea. Obviously, the big turkey point, I was going to say then.
Turkey Christmas, in the room.
Christmas theme.
Turkey in the room, yeah.
Pep was being quoted this week saying that he hopes Haaland will be back in January. So obviously, looking at that, I think it's probably fair to say that he probably won't be fit for this weekend, game week 20. And then it's the FA Cup weekend. And then on the 13th of January, it's a deadline for game week 21, which is that Newcastle away game. Spurs also have some superb fixtures still. Home to Bournemouth, away to United, home to Brentford, and even good fixtures after that as well. And then Fulham come third, right down the bottom at the moment. Brentford, Burnley and Bournemouth all have tough fixtures. But Rich, can I come to you first to ask you on your kind of thoughts on how to navigate through the next few weeks fixture-wise?
Yeah, well, City's a difficult one. It's a difficult one whether you, you know, own City players already, you know, whether you are wildcarding this week, which a number of people are, and, you know, whether you just want City players for the upside. So they definitely need to be part of the thinking this week. And we should probably talk about that, you know, first up. I'm thinking about getting Alvarez in, you know, as a short-term measure, because my view on the Haaland situation is I don't think he'll play at the weekend. I don't think he'll make the bench at the weekend. And I'm not even sure he'll make the Newcastle game. If he does, he may make a bench appearance for that Newcastle game. So you can afford, if you don't own him, just to wait, you know, and you can probably afford to reinvest the money for the time being, given that you can sell Salah and Son to fund a Haaland purchase. But that game week 22 fixture is nearly a month away, or is a month away, is it? It's the 31st of January,
something
is
like
it?
That, because we have a split game. It's ages away.
It's ages absolutely away. So you've got a month. They can recover him. He doesn't miss many games. They've got him for the Champions League. I don't think they'll take a risk with him. He genuinely obviously does have a problem. This isn't just a rest. It's, you know, they're being very careful with him. So it's now a question of, well, do you use these precious free transfers that you've got to load up on City assets like Silva, like Foden, like, Alvarez, etc., and possibly even a City defender, so that you can, you know, take advantage of those fixtures. You know, there is also the double game week, which is still to be announced, which we haven't talked about. That is rumoured now to be most likely to go into game week 25, I think it is. If that happens, and it's a nice double, I think it's Chelsea-Brentford at home that it would be. So you've got a double game week for City there. The Brentford one's a bit, you know, not worth worrying about from a transfer perspective, I don't think. So yeah, there's lots to think about with City, and it's a tough one. If you know, there's people in the chat who've still got Haaland, you know, that's probably the hardest thing. If you own Haaland, what do you do with him now? Do you hold him? You have that 14 million on your bench for 2 or 3 weeks, you know?
Haven't already had it on there for 2 or 3 weeks and felt the pain of that.
Exactly. So do you sell or hold? That's a real toughie. And also wildcarders, what do? Do you buy and bench, or do you just leave it? I mean, let's just talk about City. We could talk about the other teams, but I mean, what's your view on all that, like, Adam? I mean, you know, City's is a big attraction, isn't it?
It is, but and I think Alvarez is possibly an opportunity. And I'm actually looking at his stats last three matches, and he scored in obviously the World Club Cup, but 4 big chances, 2 big chances created. So his numbers look quite good. 46% expected goal involvement, which is really high. So the numbers are actually better than I thought for Alvarez. And I think you're right. I think they'll persist with I think they'll gradually integrate Foden and Haaland back in.
De Bruyne.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, De Bruyne and Haaland. I think they'll gradually integrate them back in. So I think there's opportunities probably for 3 players. I think Alvarez, Bernardo Silva, who's quite a safe pick, yeah, and I think he'll stay in the team even when they come back, and Foden. But there's uncertainty there. I think the challenge is we've got the Sheffield United fixture, which looks good, but they will park the bus and make it difficult, as they did against Villa. So where, you know, a few weeks ago before Wilder, that might have been a 6-7-0. I'm not sure it will be. I think I could see it being maybe 3-0 or something. So still good potential. My issue is the gap between the game weeks. That's what I think is, because that's not what's shown on the fixture ticker. So if I look at it again, so I think, did you say it was the 13th, the deadline? Yeah. So there's 2 weeks between the Sheffield United game and the Newcastle game. And then there's quite a big gap again between the Burnley game. A lot can happen. So you could go all in on City, and by the time it comes to Newcastle or Burnley, De Bruyne could be there taking Foden minutes or Alvarez minutes. Haaland could be back. He might not be back. The thing that I've sort of started to realize, I don't like uncertainty, because it's just a guessing game. And Newcastle away isn't an easy fixture. I know Forest made it look easy, but you would think Newcastle will get some more players back. You'd think that they're, you know, they've got their pretty much first choice defence back. They could potentially have done something in the transfer market, maybe around goalkeepers. So I think on paper it looks great, but you've got all of this uncertainty in there. And I think Alvarez is worth, I think looking at maybe an Alvarez, a Foden or Bernardo, I think it's worth going in on any of those as with the fixture. I think it's probably worth taking a punt there, but I don't like an all-in strategy. I think because we don't know when that double game week could be. Yes, it could be it could be game week 21, probably unlikely given the turnaround. But there's just a lot of uncertainty there. So I prefer to wait because any of those players could miss, you know,
at least one or two games. Yeah, there's only three games, isn't there? This week, the middle of January and the end of January. There's only three games in over a calendar month.
I would also add in there, Rich, that there is like there's at least one FA Cup game, probably two to play in there as well. So they're home to Huddersfield in the FA Cup.
Of course.
And they're probably likely to beat Huddersfield. They're going to have two FA Cup games thrust in the middle of that as well, which could chuck in any kind of, you know, injury or give De Bruyne minutes and things, which will give us clues as to what to look for towards the end of January. So I think that's important as well. I think the Man City team we see at the moment now is going to be very different in 4 weeks' time with De Bruyne and Haaland back in. I think we'll see quite a sea change, a big shift in how the team is going to look and operate. So I think to back your...
Doku as well, potentially.
Yeah, exactly. So Doku will be back. So I think that things will look very different. So I kind of agree with the all-in thing. Is like a month is such a long time. And I think the thing that's maybe clouded us a little bit is just that quality of that home to Sheffield United fixture. It's quite a scary fixture, isn't it, to go without any Man City attack. But then there are other teams with really good options as well, I think. And is the Man City, especially like a double up or more, is that the right thing when there are other players like Bowen, for example, and there are other options who are performing as well, have good fixtures as well? I suppose that's what I'm kind of asking myself.
The way I see it, as I was thinking about this morning, our attitude towards an international break is, oh, we want to try and save a transfer, or so much uncertainty and so much could happen. And it is really like an international break because it's just substituted with FA Cup fixtures inside. So that's how I'm trying to see it, is that you'd feel a bit uncomfortable wildcarding or going in or something with like that 2 week break in between. And then there's another break where you've got the FA Cup, you've got split game week, haven't you? So it seems that the players that you're getting when you go in could be very different in one or two game weeks.
I completely agree. Spurs as well, you know, have some really good fixtures up and coming. Obviously, they're going to lose Son after game week 20, probably for 3 or 4 weeks, in which time they've got really good fixtures. I don't think any of us have got Richarlison yet. He's another one, right?
No.
Given the fixtures, is he someone who's kind of interesting you, Rich? I know.
Yeah, he is. I mean, most people have got a sort of, you know, probably a couple of nominated favourites to replace Salah and Son. You know, most people own Salah and Son. Who do you go for? There is a lot of options in midfield. There are a lot of options to consider, but probably the favourite two are Bowen and Richarlison in terms of dumping those guys for them. You know, it's going to give you a lot of money in the bank. It's going to give you Haaland cash straight away for a one move for Haaland later. And then, of course, there are other options. There's other form players, that sort of thing. But those two really sort of stand out. I'm just a little bit worried about how Spurs are going to go without Sonny. And, you know, they really need players back. They need Van de Ven back. They need Madison back. And they are supposed to be coming back soon. But again, January will reveal, you know, how well they're doing. You know, do they bring them back, ease them back for the cup games, that kind of stuff. So yeah, Spurs are interesting. I'm not as set on Richarlison as I am on Bowen. You know, I really think most people will move for Bowen because he's just very consistent and, you know, he's been a great own for Adam. And so Richarlison, I was very disappointed with how they were last night. I was flipping between the games, but they just didn't seem at it, you know.
I agree. So.
Do you think you're the Spurs fan, Fergie? What do you think of the last night? Do you think it's just a blip? Do you think it's a one off?
I think so. I think the manager afterwards kind of cited a bit of fatigue, which isn't great when we're playing a very, very good Bournemouth team on the weekend, and Bournemouth have got the second highest expected goals conceded, over the last sort of a period as well. So I think I would take a 1-0 win now against Bournemouth any day of the week, or two. I take any sort of win before Spurs kind of get the break. But I think Spurs they've just been trying to shovel out 11 players every week, haven't they? Ever since that Chelsea game, really, they've just been trying to get out any kind of team. So I think they're just a bit tired. I want to get through the Bournemouth game. I think they will. I think we're home to Burnley in the FA Cup, which gives us an opportunity to play some fringe players. And I'm hoping Spurs can really use that break then to integrate the injured players back into the team. Obviously, Sonny will be a miss, but I think once we get sort of Maddison back, Van der Ven back, we can start to get our shape. You know, even like Bissouma was suspended last night. He's been kind of in and out as well. So we've been missing, almost the whole spine of the team has been missing. So they'll be fine. But I kind of agree with you. I think it's very easy to say, Son's gone, Richarlison's going to be the main man. But Son is such a creative outlet. He's such a fantastic player for Spurs that I definitely prefer someone like Bowen, who will miss, the AFCON players in terms of, with West Ham, Benrahma and Kudus and players like that. But I just think that Bowen's fixtures, along with the fact that he's a lot more proven asset, talismanic 90 minutes sort of thing. I think Bowen is the one I prefer to Richarlison.
What's the latest on Maddison?
I was having a look this morning actually on the expected minutes, which reflects FPL. 1 second. Maddison could be expected back for some time around about 21 or 22. So it's probably even though that's not this weekend, it's kind of the next game week. It is in like 2 weeks' time. He'll have like a lesser flag, and then he's expected back fully at the end of the month. So I think by Brentford home in game week 22, I think he'll probably be back, I would guess. And obviously we'll know a bit more then about Sonny's progression in the Asia Cup as well. I was having a look at the odds, and South Korea, I think there's some like sixth favourites. So they're not kind of one of the absolute standout favourites. So maybe quarterfinals, semi-finals could be good for him. So I think Spurs will start to get back to full strength kind of around game week 23-ish, which is like, going into February. So with all that in mind, I prefer other players to Richarlison is my
agreed
summary, I think.
I think it's telling when he gets taken off, and he got taken off in the last couple of matches.
Again, 65 minutes or something.
Yeah, he's struggling with an injury. I think he's very hit and miss. He loves a yellow card. I'm not particularly a big fan of Richarlison. The one thing I would say, what I think has been a really big factor over Christmas is fatigue for a lot of teams. So you talk about the match last night. Brighton had a week gap between matches, which is incredible when you think of it over the Christmas period. And they've got another relatively big gap. So they play on the Tuesday, don't they? So they've had like Thursday, Tuesday, which I know they've played a lot of football this season, but that doesn't seem right. That seems to be giving them a bit of an advantage, I think, over this period. Because you could see, I think watching, you could see Spurs were tired. I mean, they're running, they've been struggling with injuries as well. Same with Newcastle, definitely, massively. Definitely. I think there was an element of Arsenal last night. Yeah. Villa 100% missing a couple
they
of really key players.
They looked exhausted in the second half, didn't they, Villa? They were a different team for the second half, weren't they?
Yeah, they're all right for the first 30 minutes, but they were just fatigued, you could see. And they've played a lot of football with Europe as well. And that's been the same for Newcastle, Arsenal. So you could I think it's impacted it's definitely impacted teams. The good news is that as we get into January, players will be rested in the cup games. And I think we'll sort of start to see normal service resumed, hopefully.
Yeah. Looking ahead then to, you know, Haaland, Salah, Son, and what this means for our teams in FPL over the coming weeks. So it looks like Haaland is going to be out this week. Salah and Son, it looks like, I don't think the actual leaving dates have been confirmed. It looks like they're going to play this game week and then probably leave after that. I don't think any of them are going to play in 21 in terms of Salah or Son. I think we've been quite fortunate this week. I think if Haaland had maybe been on the bench this week and was going to start against Sheffield United, it would have given us some real dilemmas in terms of, do we get him in? Do we drop Salah, you know, against a Newcastle team who've just been absolutely battered? Do we drop Son at home? But I think that's been made fairly easy for us now. There are affordable alternatives to Haaland if we want to go in on Man City. Captain's wide open as well this week. But what are your, Adam, your thoughts first on managing the Haaland, Salah and Son? What is your, how is your team going to evolve over the next kind of few weeks?
Yeah, well, injuries pending and what and team news. It would be nice to actually get some team news before the deadline this game week. which we won't have for every team, but again, it will still be good. So my plan is to save a transfer this week, and then sell both Salah and Son in game week 21.
Yeah.
I think I get. There is arguments to keep them and value and all of that, but it just comes to the uncertainty factor. They could be, I mean, I think Egypt are similar in terms of favourites. Yeah, there's possibilities they miss four game weeks. And then when they come back, you saw what, you know, there's a lot of flying, there's a lot of emotion involved in these tournaments. So will they come back in peak condition? Probably not.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So both of those factors make me comfortable selling them. There's also the possibility that neither of them play in game week 26. Now, there could be double game weeks prior to that in 25, but again, we don't know that. So I think I'll sell both. And I think, to be honest, Son is quite easy to get back if you've got Saka, because I'd happily bring in Son for Saka. So, or you could alternatively look at Madison as a slightly cheaper version of Son. I think they'll both do relatively well. I'll probably avoid Haaland away at Newcastle and then bring him back for the home at Burnley game, subject to him being available, of course. But we'll have more information then. And I've just got to decide, do I go 3-4, like play, do I go for a third striker, or do I swap Solanke out for Haaland? But I've got a game to watch him, see how he does away at Spurs. I mean, because he looks a real deal, as do Bournemouth do, but is that because they're good fixtures, or is it because he's, you know, so let's, I'll wait and see on that. I've got some players that I've looked at earmarked to replace Salah and Son, and I think there's some quite exciting options. So I was looking at predicted points over the last four game weeks, and I think there's some players that really, really stand out. I've just lost it now, so let me just bring it back up. So there's a couple that I quite like, and that I think have done well. So I would say I like Garnacho as a cheap option. I thought he looked very good against Villa.
He was superb, wasn't he? He's greedy as well. He loves a shot, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I just think when you look at the price difference versus Bruno and Rashford, who were flattered to deceive. I mean, he had a goal offside. He missed another one-on-one. He just looks really, really good. So, and he's confident. His confidence is sky high. Yeah. So look, last four game weeks, I mean, he's in the top 20 for expected points. But there's some other players I like. The one that I really, really like is Elise. I just think he sort of fits the mold of what the players that I'm bringing in. I think his goal involvement's been very good since he's come back, possibly on penalties. We're not really sure around that, but he just, and in the last four game weeks, he's had created two big chances. He's been involved in 48% of the expected goal involvement for Palace. So I really like the look of him. I think Alanga's another one, but I think he is a little bit hit and miss, and I think he offers good value. I think he's an option, but I probably prefer Garnacho and Elise there. And then And then if I was going to do a like for like replacement for Son in terms of value, because the idea is I'd need a cheaper one to bring in with to facilitate Archer to Haaland. The one that I quite like the look of, I mean, Odegaard looked good last night. I could go there, and I think their fixtures are okay. But Diogo Jota is the one I'm thinking, because if he's fit, obviously Salah going away benefits him. But the thing that when there's a big difference between watching Darwin and watching Jota is I always feel when he's on the pitch, he's got a goal in him.
Definitely.
And he's finished against Burnley. It's just a finish of a goal scorer. And so I think he could be quite fun, because then, you know, that's your route to Salah, you just swap him back when he comes back. So that's where I'm looking at the moment. I've just got to decide whether I go 3-4-3 or 3-5-2. I think into the strikers are some good, interesting options. I think Yao Pedro, with their fixtures, he scored. I mean, they get a lot of penalties this season.
He scores them all.
Yeah, he's great penalty taker. He's got 8 out of 8 in all competitions, which and he's looking really good. And I think he's an option. Chris Wood is obviously in form at the moment, so.
I've got a question for you there. Would you keep Darwin now that Salah is going to AFCON? Or would you sell him? Because he was my Haaland make-weight, right? If he was coming back this weekend. And you wouldn't do that move now, would you? Because there's he's not coming back this weekend, is he?
I think I'd be tempted to keep him, yeah. I think it's probably good for. Is it good for his good minutes?
We've still got Gakpo, Diaz, Jota, Darwin, haven't you? You've still got 4 for 3, really.
I know there's a few people contesting this on penalties, but I think Darwin will be on penalties, because I think there's been a couple of matches for Liverpool in friendlies and earlier the season where he's taken penalties. And I'm not saying, I know Szoboszlai is quite decent at them. There's a few, obviously McAllister at Brighton, but I always think with penalties, it's a bit like Alan Shearer. You know, like if any team got a penalty and Alan Shearer's on the pitch, could you imagine them trying to take the ball off him? Do you know? And I just think Darwin would grab it and would want to take it.
I wouldn't have any confidence with Darwin on the spot, though, I've got to be honest.
I'd have to check, but I don't think he's ever missed a penalty.
Okay, fair enough.
Not to put a curse on him, but
he just kind of strikes me as this. It's a funny one. Whenever you see like Harry Maguire have a penalty for England, you think, oh my goodness, Ben, he always seems to bang in the top corner, don't he? Darwin kind of strikes me as the same vibes. You have no idea where it's going to go. It could go bang it in the top corner, or he could like hit the corner flag. I don't know.
Rosette. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, that's my plan at the moment. I just think that the landscape, by the time we reach game week 21, a lot could change. All the players I've mentioned could be injured, could have got sent off in the FA Cup. There's a lot that can change. So if I can, I'll save a transfer this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, if you get, I've got two, right? So do I spaff them this week and, just sort my defence out, which, as you say, lacks Trent. I've got two injured defenders right now, dropping in value. Do I sort that out, which I can do, or do I carry that second transfer? I think I need to carry it. I mean, having 2 for 21 looks very wise, doesn't it? Looks very wise.
Well, I'm just looking at your team now. I think that you're, I don't think you need to touch your attack. I think it looks good. So it's that Tsimikas and Maguire dealing with that issue. If you can you get Trent in for any of them?
If I sold Zinchenko and Tsimikas, I could probably swap them for Trent and Gusto.
Quite like that.
Well, it's to make the money for Trent, you see. That's how it does it. And Zinchenko, I think, could get a rest this weekend. That's what I'm thinking as a two move. But then that puts me down to just 1-3, you see. So
I think, but then you've got, it's tough, isn't it? I think the way Trent's playing at the moment, he looks absolutely great. So I think it's, I think you'll want him, given that you'll have all this money from Salah and Son knocking around. I think you will want him at some point. So it's whether, and you can do it without a hit. I think, I think it's hard.
Get him in.
Yeah, I like Gusto as well. I think Gusto looked really good. Yeah. Looked really good.
Rich, thoughts? On the coming weeks, you've touched on it already. Some really good picks here from Adam, I think. Anyone else kind of on your eye line for next month?
Yeah, I like what Adam was sort of talking from a perspective of owning Bowen, and I think if you've got Bowen in your team now, you're very well set, because he's going to be the first drop down that people will go to. So Adam's able to look at likes of Jota, look at the likes of Garnacho, etc. I think with Garnacho, the only issue is a lot of teams have got Gordon and Palmer in them already, and they've been bought a long time ago, so most people maybe got $500,000 of team value in them, plus maybe more than that. And then they're fine. They're fine as enablers. They're fine as performers. They always play. They're good holds. Going for three sort of sub $6 million.
Yeah, not fine. Mids.
I just think the mid position is so important that you've got the option with the Haaland money to shop more expensively there, so the likes of Foden, the likes of Jota, etc., you can have them, and KDB's coming back as an option later. So I think I like Garnacho, but I just United, they're like Chelsea, they're up and down in terms of their performances, and they're not really convincing me yet as a team. They did very well to come back against Villa, but it was all made down to him with his man and match performance. So yeah, if you need a new enabler and you haven't got two cheaper mids already, I think Garnacho is a good option. I like Foden. He's playing really well. He's playing through the middle now for City at the moment.
Really good,
and
isn't he?
He does look really good. But you've got to get on Foden at the right time. He'll go bang bang nothing. Nothing nothing nothing. Then bang bang. So it's like you've got to take the rough with the smooth with Phil a bit. So yeah, I like him. But Bowen will be my main target. I'll do that first, and then it's a lot more open. And I think we've got some more learning to do on that second one. And also, there's possibly the option, given that there aren't many games in January, to just hold on to one of Son or Salah if you want to. If there's a lot of people again with that height, a lot of value built up in those players, and you could possibly just lose one as a strategy if you've got a strong bench, and therefore you've got that. You've got that team. That's one of the questions, actually, that's come up on Twitter and in the Ultra Chat is, what do we do about accrued team value that many of us will have in Son and Salah? Is it going to hurt us later to just dump them? So that's just the opposite view of just losing them. So yeah, it's worth considering. If you've bought Salah for 12.5 and he's now 13.3, it's going to be difficult to own Haaland, Son, Salah again without maybe wildcarding, in game week 26, 27, something like that.
Just looking ahead to a second wildcard. We're going to look next at a first wildcard for those who still hold those for game week 20. We're just looking ahead to a second wildcard. Have either of you guys had any thoughts on that yet? Are you thinking of potentially using it around 25, 26, 27 to reconfigure your team completely to enable Haaland, Salah, Son and really attack that period or not?
If we get that double game week with both the Bournemouth Luton fixture and the City Brentford fixture, I think it is, if they were both scheduled into the same week, that would present, an opportunity, to do a bit of a kind of, lightning wildcard and fill up your team with double game weekers, and just particularly if you want to make some ground, and you don't want to go into the 30 plus weeks, a million rank or whatever. So therefore it's on my mind to do it, but I really need the news. I really need the double game week news and the blank game week news. Also, we need to know who the Carabao Cup finalists are. It's expected to be Liverpool Chelsea final. If you just look at, say Chelsea will beat Borough and Liverpool possibly beat Fulham, you're probably looking at a Liverpool-Chelsea final. Then you'll know who's blanking, and then you could get more doubles, especially if those teams go into game week 25. So you could have a big double in game week 25. Mm. And if there's that, then a wild card just before that
to set for it and just play the upside is definitely an option.
A real boost.
We just need the info, don't we? Because there aren't going to be as many double game weeks as last season. And that's why likes of Ben Crennan have been fairly quiet. You know, he's starting to wake up. You're seeing Ben's activity starting to increase. That's right. He's limbering up. Yeah, exactly. So, it's definitely, it's just at the back of my mind.
Adam, any thoughts on wild cards? Second wild card?
I think for me, I need more information at this stage. So the things that I'll be looking out for, I think the FA Cup is quite key. So you talked about by the end of Jan, we'd have had a couple of rounds played. It gives us a bit of an idea about, because it's not just blank game week 2026 with the EFL Cup. We're also going to have the quarterfinals and semi-finals producing blank game weeks. Now, I think in the case of the latter, there could be the free midweek where the games go into, so it's not necessarily an issue. But I think it's just worth keeping an eye on that. And when we have more information on that and the doubles, I'm not against this year playing an earlier wild card and attacking maybe some of the smaller double game weeks with the likes of bench boost, because I think from what I've read is the biggest double game week could potentially be the penultimate. Game week 37, which I don't like to be honest.
Too late to really do anything.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if we get one round 25, or there could be some opportunities there. So some of the things that I've thought, so it could be that if we're going into game week 25, Liverpool might have a double against, and I think that'd be like Luton and Brentford, which is quite good, is you could double up on treble up on Liverpool, really go into that, and then either free hit or even wild card out of it. So there's loads and loads of opportunities, but we need to know what the opportunity cost is of that, what the state, how's that going to leave you for the, is it game week 28, 29 when you've got the FA Cup blank? So yeah, there's not enough information at the moment. The one thing I would say, though, is on bench boost, I think if you have a good 15, if you've got 15 players with good fixtures, I'm not against bench boosting. I think there was a couple of weeks ago where a lot of people had 20 plus on their bench.
32 last week, I think it was.
Yeah, I saw that, Fergie. You had a massive bench boost.
I'm not against bench boosting in a single, because the reality is, I don't know if we're going to get situations where even in double game weeks where we're going to get 15 double game weekers. I think it's unlikely. So the reality is your bench, you might have a goalkeeper playing twice. But other than that, it could be, again, single game weekers. I think when I bench boost last year, I think I had the likes of Kane and Saka having singles. So I'm not against bench boosting with single game weeks, because the other strength of that, we always talk about what people do to their squads to get it fit for purpose for a double game week, and so for a bench boost, and have maybe taken three or four hits, so they've probably negated a lot of the bench points already, whether it's going in or going out, or the cumulative of both. So I think what I would say, and I haven't checked the fixtures well enough to see if Dubravka and Areola, my goalkeepers, happen to land on a good set of fixtures, but I think if you've got 15 good fixtures and you're very confident the players are going to play, I think go for it. I've got no issue with that, because I think sometimes the bench boost can be a bit of a curse and a bit of a handicap, because you just get in your head and you think, oh, I've got to play the wild card here to benefit from that, and then you miss opportunities in other game weeks.
I think as well, difference from this year to previous years, I think the fact that Kane has gone as one, and the fact that there are a lot of affordable, really exciting options, cheap, you know, 6-7 million, which we haven't had, I don't think, for a long time, if ever, is that we, you know, there's obviously a template team. That's because of the kind of FOMO fear, you know, the fear of EO thing. But as you mentioned, Adam, there are so many superb options outside of that as well. Like people like Elise, Garnacho, Bowen, Foden, you know, and these are players who are in their own right, fantastic FPL picks. That's like the template. I think that the fact that, there is that means that I'll get to the point I was trying to make in a second. I've lost my train of thought, but something along the lines of you don't need to manipulate your team as much to get to a kind of optimal state as you have in previous ones, because there's so many other brilliant options as well. And I think that the fact with that is, you know, the bench boost in a certain week is normally crescendos into this like template 14 or 15. But I don't think we have to now this year, because there's so many incredible options across the board. The fact that, Kane's money can just be shared among, you know, the fact that Haaland's out now, obviously, you know, he'll be back. Sarr and Son are out. I think there's opportunity to go for different picks, and it's not going to be as kind of regimented as previously, is what I suppose I'm trying to say.
Well, we know we're only sort of two or three weeks away, game weeks away from someone out in the content community coming up with sort of, you know, the most optimum path through the blanks and doubles. And if you wildcard here and you bench boost here and you TC there, and then you free hit there, that's the kind of, you know, here comes the prescribed
best even path. Even though
if you take a minus 12 here, you'll get those points back, you know. Exactly. It's like, you know, it's coming, isn't it? Probably early Feb, I would
Whereas
say.
I think you've got to get through two lots. Well, I think as soon
two
as
lots
we
of
get
FA Cup,
yeah. Or no, it'll be one FA. It'll be the weekend after next, once we've had the FA Cup games and we've got the fourth round draw, that's when the clogs will start turning. Because actually, if any of the big clubs or any of the clubs out, people will be like, "Oh, so and so's definitely playing." And
I don't think we can properly start to look at all, you know, all that sort of really with any real plan. I mean, we can speculate and we can have a very incredibly loose plan, but I don't think until game week 22 towards the end of January, which is a month away, we can probably start to think, right, this is what I think I'm going to do.
The dust sheets remain on the spathometer for now, don't they?
They do indeed. Just have a look at...
I've got some stats up here which I thought were quite interesting. So this is the last five game weeks. I've just ordered it by most shots. Top the last five game weeks with 22 shots. He's had Saka, Salah, a second and third. Sonny's fifth. Who do you think is top?
Most
shots last five game weeks.
Shots.
And he's also top for most shots in the box as well.
Solanke?
Nope. It's Garnacho.
Wow.
So I thought that was interesting. Yeah, Pedro's fourth. So again, he's sort of it makes him interesting. But then there's one which is he's in the top 10, his defender, which is Pedro Porro, 14 shots in the last five. So there's definitely a goal coming from him.
He was like Trent. He's even though they got thrashed last night, he still got two bonus points. So he got an assist and two bonus in a 4-1 defeat. You know, that shows how much, you know, he's contributing.
Porro and Trent, we don't like the word essential, right? But they're both, if you haven't got them, it's behind the sofa time in it every week, because they're just frightening at the moment.
Exactly. They're both greats, Wayne. But yeah, I thought that was interesting with Garnacho, because I thought he was so good against Villa.
I agree.
There's also been other performances. He's obviously got his overhead against Everton. I thought against Chelsea, he had a lot of chances. So, yeah, I think particularly the home games, I think the advantage of going him over Bruno is, number one, Bruno loves a yellow card at the moment. Seems to get one every week. But it's also the fact that... You could actually leave that money in the bank to make it easier to get back to or restructure your team when certain players get back.
Really good shout. Just looking at predicted points for the next four game weeks, top of the list is someone you might not expect. He's been frustrating the hell out of everyone recently, but Saka is top on 23.4 points. You know, as you mentioned, Adam, he's had a lot of shots. I think he had a couple of shots on target last night. A bit bit unfortunate, I think.
Very good save from the header as well.
Yeah,
really
lots of
chance.
People are thinking of getting rid. I don't think I will be yet, especially because we've got all his cash in the bank. He's just always
captainable while Salah and Son are away, you know, and Haaland's out. You know, where's your captain coming from? And he's definitely got to be in the conversation, hasn't he? So
he is.
Yeah, it's the wrong time to sell Saka.
Bowen is second. Well done, Adam, on getting on him early. Haaland is actually third still, even though, you know, he's projected to miss this game week and probably only play a few minutes the week after. His fixtures are so strong and he is so strong. He's predicted to score 20 points in the next four game weeks. Gordon is up there, interestingly, even though Newcastle's fixtures are really tough. The next three, I think they go, is it Liverpool, Villa City? So I'm thinking of selling Gordon this week, but he's projected to score 20 points. It's interesting. Bruno is still high. Bruno's XG and XA is still ridiculous. Watkins up there, 20 points. Palmer, 20. Foden, 20. Jesus, Odegaard, 19. Isaac, 18. Sterling, 18. Solanke, Trent, Gross, Eze, Alvarez, just 18. Foden's, just had a quick look at Foden's XG. Foden's is higher than Alvarez over the past six games. And interestingly, Alvarez XA is slightly higher than Foden's, but Foden is predicted to score more. Obviously, you know, he gets more points for being a midfielder as well. So that was interesting. Elanga, Garnacho sneaks in there, 4.7 million we've been talking about, and Darwin as well. So some interesting picks in there. And the Hub AI has picked out a game week 20 wildcard teams. This is done completely objectively, looking at the next five game weeks. And interestingly, it hasn't picked out either Salah or Son for this game week. Obviously, because they're not going to play after this game week. Just having a quick look at what this team looks like. It's picked Flecken and Dvorabka as the keepers. I'm not sure on. I don't think I fancy Flecken after the weekend. No. Trent, Porro, and Zinchenko. I know you mentioned you think Zinchenko might be rested. He just makes so many mistakes, don't he? As good a player
he does,
is,
yeah.
He's just always a
yeah. He's in my side, but I always he doesn't feel as secure as Saliba or Gabriel in terms of starts. You know, sometimes Kiwior gets a game, and you know, yeah. While Tomiyasu is out, it's probably all right for most of the games, but yeah, he's the one I'm thinking of selling for Trent if I do bring Trent. So yeah, surprise Zinchenko makes the
bench as well, Gabriel and Trippier. So that's a hell of a strong back. It's obviously using all the money, right? From
I was going to say, it doesn't leave the money.
No, it doesn't.
To do Alvarez to Haaland.
No, it
okay,
doesn't. It doesn't. Bowen as captain this week, home to Brighton. Saka, Palmer, Richarlison, and Gordon, and then a front three of Watkins, Alvarez, and Solanke. Obviously, you know, you can use this as kind of a start point, like a template. For instance, I would probably go. I don't know, Garnacho ahead of Gordon straight away saves you $1.5 million, right? But it does give you.
I'd have Gusto in there.
Yeah, Gusto was a good shout. And you know, and when you start to make these two or three moves, you can maybe get that Alvarez, the Haaland cash in the bank. But I just like looking at this sort of thing because it's interesting the kind of players it picks out, the kind of you know structure. It kind of makes you think, you know, that I'm not far off that team now. I don't think I've got like. You know, not most. I think I've got like 9 or 10 of that 15. Mm. So it makes you think, you're kind of on the right track. So
I've got a question for you both. So this will be quite a big challenge for wildcarders because it's obviously the last opportunity to play it this game week if you haven't used it. I like the AI team. I think it makes sense to leave cash in the bank to do Alvarez to Haaland. But do you go without, if you're wildcarding this week, do you evict Salah and Son a week early? Mm-hmm. Or do you have one of them? Or do you have a plan to, you know, or do you have transfers planned? Because it's, interested in both of your thoughts.
I think if I was wildcarding, I definitely wouldn't have two. Because I'd be booking in two transfers, and you don't want to do that. I think you can afford to because there's so many choices in midfield. I think it's okay, particularly if you want to captain Son or Salah this week, to wildcard with one, go with the captain that you want for this week, and then just move him on for a player, you know, that you want for January next week, you know, as a warm booked in transfer. It's not ideal, but we're not in an ideal situation where we've got all the information. So I think it's fine. I'd go one rather than none or two. I mean, I don't know what you think, Fergie, but yeah, that would be my almost my
instinct. Which the one would you go for?
I think Lou Castle looked really vulnerable. I think I probably wouldn't want it. With a wild card, I wouldn't want to go into game week 20 not owning Salah and then have him bang and you've lost out to the field who haven't wildcarded because they've got Salah. Sonny also could do it, but I just think there's a higher ceiling for Salah to go mad in that match. So that's probably what I would do.
I think I'd do the same. I think it comes down to captaincy as well. I think at the moment we haven't chatted on captaincy yet, but Salah home to Newcastle is looking a lot more favourable than it was a couple of weeks ago. You know, for different reasons, Newcastle just don't look at it at the moment. Salah at home, we all know his record. There are alternative options. Watkins home to Burnley is decent. Well, we'll touch on captaincy next, but I just think that Salah looks the best captaincy option this week, which to me only kind of reminds me that things move on so quickly. Because a couple of weeks ago, you probably wouldn't have said that at all, would you? You for different reasons. Probably gone Watkins home to Burnley, Son home to Bournemouth, absolute standard options. But things change so quickly that I think actually Salah is the best option this week now. So that's the way I would go. Salah and then, you know, downgrade next week. Alternatively, you could just skip them both and try and get the points elsewhere, potentially by going like Foden, you know, Foden, Alvarez and Bowen, and shoving the captaincy on them, because I do think the captaincy is going to be wide open this week. And you're kind of getting ahead a little bit there, aren't you? In terms of, because you're going to have to take Salah out anyway. So
this is where I differ. I would go without Salah and Son, and I would try and get to the team. I think I would have the money to get Haaland in one move. I'd try and position it so I can get ahead of the curve in the coming weeks and almost put myself one or two transfers ahead of everyone else. Yeah. Because I think Salah, I don't think he'll go off. I think he could score, I think he's likely to score. But, you know, if you get news that could you go Diogo Jota, could he be starting? Yeah. Could you, you know, you it might even be that you go, and I've not seen it on here, but even a Liverpool defensive double up with like Van Dijk, I wouldn't be put off that completely, because I actually think they've looked okay defensively, and I could see Van Dijk getting a couple of returns. Yeah. So I think I would go without both. Now that becomes challenging on the captaincy, but then there's some good options and probably a good cue into the captaincy from here, because I think there are some good options outside Salah and Son this week.
Yeah, I agree with that. Captain this week, talking of captain, predicted points this week, according to Fantasy Football Hub AI, it has Sun top 7.4, Salah second 6.6, Bowen third 5.9, Saka fourth 5.7. And according to our poll, there's not many votes because I only put it up last night, obviously, because the game week is, you know, it's been so close. But at the moment, Alvarez and Salah kind of top 30% each, Watkins in at 14%. Rich, what are your thoughts on captaincy this week?
It's tough. I'm surprised Sonny's so low. It's probably because of Bournemouth's form. But again, it's a home game. They'll bounce back, I think, from Brighton. So I'm really surprised he's only 8%. I'm a bit surprised that Alvarez is so high, even though we mentioned at the beginning he's obviously an option to bring in, but I'd have to lose Darwin for him or something. So again, Darwin could do well, couldn't he, against Newcastle? So he's, you know, it's all about the player you're losing, isn't it? It's like, yeah, really surprised. I think I'm going to go with Salah just because it's his last game, and, you know, I think he'll sign off with a bang. I actually think Newcastle will probably get a bit of a good hiding at Anfield. They're struggling a bit, aren't they? Even though they've got Botman and Cher back, I just think, you know, Trippier's not been on it. I think Trippier's a sell if you've got him.
Oh, What do you think, Adam?
Okay, well, looking at some other options, because I think there's some good, really good ones this week. I think Ollie Watkins at home to Burnley is a really, really good option. I think the big difference between Burnley and Sheffield United, Burnley are allowing a lot of chances.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And Trafford actually has played well and made a lot of good saves in a number of games recently. So I reckon Watkins will go big this week. I think Villa will respond. I could see Watkins doing well. I think Alvarez and Foden against Sheffield United are a very, very good option. City will have 80% plus of the ball, so they're going to create chances. So I think, and actually, if a lot of the stuff's in and around the box, you could see Foden or Alvarez actually getting out. You know, doing well there. So I like those as options. I think if you're going to go a little bit more left field, Trent, I think, is a good option. I think his form at the moment is different level. And I think if Liverpool can get a clean sheet, you could have a 12, 15 pointer there quite easily. Let's have a look who else. Yeah, I'm not as high on Son. I think Spurs, I know he's top on there, but I think Spurs look tired. And I think, although they had a good end to the match, I think it's a tough game, that Bournemouth game, actually. In fact, it's one I'm really looking forward to watching. Really, I think it'll be a great game, the way both teams play. But I think Solanke and Bournemouth could do quite well in that fixture. Particularly how Everton and Brighton did against Spurs. So I'm on Salah at the moment, but I think there's other options. I think I do like Watkins this week. The only thing that pushes me towards Salah is that midfielder versus striker thing, if I'm being honest. Go on, what were you going to say?
They're saying the chat is really high on Alvarez.
Alvarez. Yeah,
really high on Alvarez, which is.
I'm reading that. Yeah, Martin Keane.
Martin's
very, yeah.
Alvarez.
Very keen.
No, it's hard to argue against it, really. But it's impossible to say who's going to score the most points. Obviously, in a single game week. I've had it on Salah, I think, but I'm keen to talk with you guys actually next now about my transfer, because I'm not really know what I want. Bowen, but the short term. Allure.
Oh, you can wait on Bowen.
Oh, he's home.
Yeah, great.
I don't know. He's home to Brighton.
Till you lose one of Salah or Son, you know.
But the thing is with Bowen, and I know I own him, and I want his price to keep going up, but he doesn't haul very often. He ticks along quite nicely. I think Anthony Gordon could possibly get some joy for you against Liverpool, possibly on the counter, because that's how they'll play. And they do occasionally let people in behind. And I also think as well, if you're looking at it long term, forget this game week, Anthony Gordon, after the Man City, which is, I believe, at home, and Villa games, their fixtures are great.
Right, yeah. As you
so I think Bowen is your perfect person to bring in for Salah or Son. I just think that's how I would do it. Gordon is a player you might want to go back to in a couple of game weeks. I think it's sell short term, get back short term. So I think if it was a player with really high upside, maybe I'd go for it. But Bowen doesn't, if you look at his numbers, I think he's got one double digit return all season. And West Ham aren't the team. When they've got a goal, they'll sit back. They won't go and overload and create chances. Also, Paqueta looks like he picked up a bad injury last night, which I think dampens Bowen's appeal a little bit, because that front three, and Kudus is going away, isn't he, after this game week? So again, I think he's a good option, but I think you can wait on him for a week. Would be my advice.
Good shout. That's why I like talking on this pod before I make any decisions. Fergie's a punt, game week 20-23. Adam, you stole my thunder a little bit with this, because he's not a person who's been talked about an awful lot. But I have been watching him over the last few weeks. He's got three fabulous fixtures in the next four: Burnley, Sheffield United, and Brighton. He plays those three in the next four. He's a man on form, I think, going under the radar due to a long-term injury, which he's come back from. He's a midfielder. He's 5.8 million. He's played the last eight games, three goals, one assist, 21 shots, 16 shots in the box, two big chances, four big chances created, 18 key passes. And Michael Olise is a person who I picked out as someone who looks very, very good. And they have superb fixtures as well. I think if I was wildcarding, I'd go for Olise. I think he's the kind of person, he's a lovely differential, great short-term fixtures, and he looks the main man pass at the moment, doesn't he?
He's great, yeah. And the thing I like about that sort of player, great on bonus,
yeah,
as well, and because he's quite creative, and yeah, I think just yeah, he's absolutely brilliant. And I'd be surprised if I mean, unless he gets injured again, I'd be surprised if I don't own him, because he's a player I love watching as well. And I think with Eze in the team, I think that helps him even more. So yeah. I think he's an absolute brilliant shout.
Home to Brentford this week as well. Brentford are really struggling.
Yeah, Brentford look targetable, don't they?
The only downside of him is I think the entry point if you're selling Salah or Son is Arsenal away.
Yeah, that's it.
Which isn't ideal. But then again, for Palace, we saw what West Ham did last night. They might get moments where they can hit them on the break. And actually, I think they scored, didn't they, away at that a few moments ago against City. So it could just be one you just bring in and hope for the best.
Let's have a look at our teams before we sign off for 2023. Adam, we've got your team up first. Do you want to run us through your plans for the weekend?
Yeah, so subject to team news, I never like these weeks. I think my team looks okay. And I always get nervous about them because in my experience, when I'm going into game weeks, I'm quite happy with my team. It always ends up going badly. I don't know why it is. So maybe I need to force a few transfers or force a hit somewhere. So I've got I'm going with Areola in goal over Dubravka at home to Brighton. I actually think Brighton will score, but I don't think I want to play Dubravka at Anfield. And then I've got Porro. And although the point on that is he could have the bigger upside, that would be the thing. But yeah, I'm going to stick with Areola. And then I've got Porro at home to Bournemouth, Gabriel away to Fulham, and Trent at home to Newcastle. Like my defence. And I've got my first bench is Anderson at home to Brentford, which I quite like as well. I think it's playable, and particularly with some of the players that they're missing. So happy with him being first sub. I've then got Son at home to Bournemouth, Saka, Salah captain at home to Newcastle, Bowen and Palmer, who's coming back off his suspension, and then Solanke and Watkins. So yeah,
just notice you've got no flagged players. It is just how have you skated through Christmas flagged players?
Do you know? Right. Okay. So I remember the being on the Green Arrow and us having almost an identical conversation. I had no flag players. My team was looking good. And then about a week or two later, by the time we pod next, you know, there's more flag than flags than the United Nations and all of that. And then, yeah, I'm a bit apprehensive, if I'm being honest, because it looks, when things are too good to be true, that's usually the way they go. So I suppose the player that I'm missing that is relatively highly earned is Alvarez. And there was a possible thought of, do I do Alvarez to Solanke to Alvarez? But I think with Spurs having Romero out,
yeah, I wouldn't do that.
And he's just...
You're just priced out of Archer to Alvarez, aren't you? Just...
Yeah, but then... But do you know what? Archer's stats have actually been quite good since Wilder's come in. They've improved massively. And I'm not quite sure whether I want to go 3-5-2 or 3-4-3. So I'm... And also, it would mean benching one of Solanke, Palmer, etc. And Palmer's threat. I don't like having eight attackers. I'm happy benching Archer every week. Whereas, I don't think I want to, You know, Solanke could easily get a brace the weekend if I bench him. You know, you've got, although I actually think Luton away is a tough fixture for Chelsea, or toughish. I don't think Luton it's as
good
easy.
At home, aren't they?
Yeah, so he would be the one that would come out, but then, you know, they get a penalty, or, you know, he's equally, you know, very, very capable. So, yeah, I think Alvarez was the one to bring in, but I feel he could be a bring in one game week and then straight out for Haaland. And then he also then gives me a captaincy dilemma. If I bought him in, would I captain him? And I don't think I would. I think I'd still go with Salah. Hmm. So yeah, I think I'm just happy to stay as I am.
Good stuff. Your recommended transfer is to bank this week, Adam. Save your transfer. If anyone watching or listening wants recommended transfers for their own team, and go to fantasyfootballclub.co.uk, my team, and it will tell you what to do. The alternative, tailor to Zinchenko. But yeah, bank is your recommendation this week. Looks good with Salah and Son out next week. You completely reinvigorate your team then, can't you? Good stuff. You've got nice, nice spot there, Adam.
Yeah, you're in a good spot.
Rich, your team on screen. What are your plans for the week?
Okay, my problem, I do have a couple of flag players. Simicast still stinking up my team, and Maguire, probably hold on to Maguire just because he's due back in January. And I've still got the Haaland cash, a lot of the Haaland cash to spend. So I'm looking at combination defensive transfers we discussed earlier. You know, funny enough, you know, Adam's recommended to buy Zinchenko. I'm thinking of selling Zinchenko for Trent. So, you know, I couldn't afford, I don't think, to go. The other thing I just need to see if I can afford is, if I go Darwin to Alvarez, can I afford Simicast to Trent and keep the double Arsenal defence? And then that would give me a sort of almost like a benching headache in all over the pitch, because I'd have Porro, the two Arsenal, and Trent. So, and then, you know, ultimately, but the other one is Zinchenko and Simicast out for Trent and Gusto is a nice two move combination. I've got two frees, so could do that for free and sort it out. I mean, the front eight is all fine. I've got a benching headache. I'll probably bench Gordon away to Liverpool, play Palmer at Luton, and play Darwin and hope he starts. It's Monday, so I think there's no problem with the you know, the rest and rotation. I think Darwin will probably hold on to his spot, having scored in the last game.
Great.
So yeah. Yeah, so that's it. The team looks good on paper, but just isn't. I'm hoping that Martinez, you know, starts to pay that hit back and keeps it clean against Burnley as well, because he's a bit of a sort of set and forget for me now. And the long term fixtures for Villa are good. So I did go with Martinez. I think you were saying to me the other week, you said you'd go Leno, and Leno appears to have imploded. So basically, Martinez feels better than Leno.
Yeah. No, I think Martinez is a good set and forget. Villa will keep clean sheets. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's a good option.
Your recommended transfers this week, Rich. Salah out for Bowen, which enables Simicast to Trent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting there. So, yeah, Simicast and Salah this week over Trent and Bowen. At first, I thought, oh, I'm not too sure about that. But actually, I don't think it's purely bad.
Because it's taking a 5-week view, and Salah has not predicted to score any points after this week, isn't it?
It also gets Bowen in for you nice and early, so you're not booking a transfer in then sort of next week, are you? Or the week after, when you'll probably look to get Bowen anyway.
Could you do Son instead of Salah to Bowen?
Yeah, it'd be easily enough, yeah.
Yeah, because that, I, having looked at that, I quite like that move to get Trent in.
I think I'd just dropping off anyone I've got 3.4 in the bank, so I've just got just a little bit short. I think Simicast dropped last night as well. I mean, I didn't look at the markets last night. I was so fed up of the Arsenal
game. And then Simicast dropped. Well, just here's another way of looking at it, because I know if you've got to decide who you're going to captain, but it seems like it's going to be Salah. So losing Salah doesn't make sense. If you do Bowen to Son, there isn't going to be much points difference between those two players, realistically. And actually, West Ham look a bit sharper than Spurs at the moment. But the advantage you've got is you've saved 4 points, because the following game week, you would probably, you know, based on what we know now. Yeah, exactly. You'd want to do Bowen to, you'd probably likely bring Bowen in for either Salah or Son anyway, wouldn't you? Whereas, you know, you were talking about saving a transfer, or ideally wanted to save a transfer, you'd have made a transfer you'd have made the following week, which is equivalent to saving one of your transfers, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It could be scary not owning Son, but I think that's a tough game for Spurs. And I think they just looked really, really leggy. And the big problem that they've got is, I think when they had Romero in, I wasn't as worried because that build up from the back, I think Basuma's out as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's suspended still, yeah.
So I just think that whole build up where they've lost almost that triangle of Van de Ven, Romero, and Basuma slash Bentancur, it's just not the same. So I think it's completely viable to lose Son this week. Bringing in Bowen could outscore Son. I think it's, I'm saying the opposite thing to both of you here, but I think this is an example of why each team is different. So me saying Bowen to Son is a blanket move, I wouldn't recommend it for everyone, but I think in your situation, it saves a transfer and you're probably going to want Bowen in. You're going to want Trent in. So
it also gets rid of Tsimikas, who, you've got two long-term absentees, Tsimikas and Maguire on your bench, who you can't even think about at the moment. It gets rid of that problem.
So I suppose the question is, do you think Son will outscore Bowen by 4 points this week? That's the question, and I'm sure most people have got different answers to that, and I can see scenarios where he does and where he doesn't. But even if it is 4 points or 5 points, you'll probably feel better.
The fact that Son is definitely not playing next week, I think you're a move ahead there with Bowen, because you definitely want him. He's a booked in transfer for you. Yeah.
But the other one, if you wanted to, the other one that I am attracted to, I'd like to see if the AI eventually recommends it, is go Darwin to Alvarez, Tsimikas to Trent. That feels quite aggressive and Alvarez against Sheffield United, gets you Trent for Tsimikas. Yes, you've got Maguire on the bench. You have Salah and Son as well for another week, and then you can do Bowen. And I think that's, if I can afford it, and I might be able to afford it, then that is appealing, because I just and for free, so makes it very strong, doesn't it?
It does.
The week. So, yeah, but good. I'm going to give that. I mean, initially I saw that Salah Bowen thing, and I've got to finish my team reveal after this call. And I was initially saying, I can't really understand why the AI is recommended Salah to Bowen.
The only thing I'd be mindful of, I could see that working, but I think it comes down to Darwin, whether you want him long term. But also, he did very well against Newcastle up at, he was out, his runs caused them so many problems.
He scored both goals, didn't he, Darwin, against Newcastle?
And I almost think if he's playing off the left as well, that diagonal running behind where Salah can, or Trent can find him, I wouldn't be surprised if Darwin outscored Alvarez this week.
I think this is where the hub
is. There's nothing wrong with Darwin. Nothing wrong with Darwin, is there? That's the thing.
I think it's that short-term, long-term thing. Yeah, so I think it's when you're looking at something for one game week, I get a lot of and that's what a lot of people do. And you, to be fair, Rich, why you're one of the best is you have a plan or a longer term plan, and you'll be, you'll think about it. And I think if you look at things, and if you were free hitting, of course you'd go Alvarez, of course you'd want Son, etc. But you're also trying to think of the point you're trying to get to, and you've got a few injuries. When you're looking at your team in game week 20, it's always a good thing when you're looking at your team in game week 21. Do you feel you can move it forward, or are you three or four moves behind still? So it is tough, and any of the players we've mentioned could go off in any single game week, because they're all good players. That's the risk, and it's a tough one to call. But I think the thing you can look at is long term, will it set you up better, and you'd have more guarantee by maybe taking out one of the players who aren't going to be there in 21.
Looking at my team, Dvravka, Arriola, I haven't really thought about the keepers yet. Probably play Arriola, I think, even though I don't think I either keep a clean sheet.
Agreed.
Trent, Porro, Gabriel, Son, Salah, Saka, Palmer, and at the moment it's Gordon. Watkins and Solanke. I've got Archer, Taylor, and Lascelles on my bench. This really, really, really stuck, actually. My initial thoughts were to get rid of... So I've got like 4.4 million in the bank, so I can get to anyone, for, you know, almost anyone from anyone, basically. My initial thoughts was Gordon to... You know, I've been thinking about Gordon to Foden or Gordon to Bowen. Bowen is probably, as you mentioned, Andrew, probably a bit of a longer term pick.
No.
Or I could do Archer straight to Alvarez. But again, your point is really relevant in terms of looking at my team. Do I want to be tied into a 3-4-3 with no obvious route straight back to Haaland there? I'd have to take a hit potentially to do that. So I'm really not sure. And if I did bring in Alvarez, would I want to captain him? Am I going to want Alvarez for the next week or two? I still think that Alvarez... I know I get the thing with, you know, desperately having Haaland back, but Alvarez plays anyway, right? Unless De Bruyne is back, obviously, in game week 21 or 22. So I'm not sure whether if I went to Alvarez, that would just be almost like a one game week punt. And you know how these things end, right? You bring in one player for one game week, put a captaincy on him because you think is really high upside, and Salah just go ahead and bang his Newcastle. And Alvarez, who, let's be honest, as fantastic a player he is, hasn't been pulling up trees, right? I'm not sure.
Not recently.
He scored the penalty in the week, but other than that, I can't remember being that involved.
Which they were lucky to get. I mean,
they were, exactly.
I can see why it was given, but the there was a lot of contention around it. So he doesn't get the penalty. He gets another two-pointer, doesn't he?
And the penalty wasn't even the best either. It kind of squeezed in through his legs, didn't it? So not that that's a massive thing, but I don't think Alvarez and Man City generally have been pulling up trees recently. He was fantastic, you know, in the World Club Cup, as he has been kind of in parts of Champions League. But in the actual league, in the league, Premier League this season, haven't he only scored like, is it 4 or 5 goals or something? Yeah. I don't think it's that many.
People who've owned him for a long time have, you know, especially on social media, have been really sort of saying, don't know what the hype is all about, because he really is a frustrating owner. It's like a Darwin own, you know, you're expecting a lot more from him than he actually gives. So the irony of swapping Darwin out from him, it's just frying pan and fire, isn't it? It's kind of like, you know, just stick with Darwin. I mean, I don't know. It's been a really good pod for me, though, in terms of sorting out what my options are. And the good thing is I have got options. So it'll be interesting 24 hours.
I think a good way of thinking about it is if Alvarez gets a goal or black, what, you know, what he's expected to get, how are you going to feel in game week 21 when you see your team? Are you going to feel it's put you back? Has it put you forward? And if you do any move that you do make, Fergie, which isn't taking out Salah or Son, assuming that you do want to sell them, and of course there's options to keep, you effectively putting yourself on a -4, or you're going to be or a transfer behind. And I know you don't like being behind people in terms of transfers. So I just think, so you've got to almost think, am I guaranteed to get those 4 points back from that move? Or, you know, because I think a lot of people that bring Alvarez in, captain him, it could work out. He could haul against Sheffield United. But then again, how many times have we seen you bring a player in and you're going against Salah then, or you're going against whoever?
This is it. And you know,
what about Gordon to Foden, Fergie?
I think I'm going to do Gordon to Bowen is going to be my move,
right?
Because of everything we've just talked about. And Gordon to Foden, I would love to do again as kind of 1 week, even though I think Foden retains his place. You know, I think it'd be really good. I do like that. But yeah, well, Gordon to Foden or Gordon to Bowen, who do I think scores more?
You can get Bowen off Salah or Son, can't you?
I like the Bowen fixture home to Brighton. And would I want Foden then? I'm just sort of like tossing things up in my head of what I would want. I could get Bowen. I definitely want Bowen long term. I'm not sure I want Foden long term. Or do I want Foden long? I'm giving it too much thought. I don't know how to think about it.
The problem with Foden is just the uncertainty. So he's a frustrating asset to own. I get this game week, I think, is really, really good. But in 2 or 3 weeks, when De Bruyne and Haaland come into the team, Alvarez may still play because he could play alongside De Bruyne. Doku comes back in. You've got Bernardo as well. So where does Foden fit? And it's quite clear that, I don't think he's one of Pep's favourites for whatever reason. I think he's he's had plenty of opportunities to claim a starting place every week for himself, because you do see he does play players every week if they're, and it just hasn't happened to him. So I just think he's a frustrating one. I think for this week, he's a great option. But I don't know if that will how long it will run for. It could be it runs for 4 or 5 game weeks. It could be. It's just that uncertainty I don't like.
I think I'm going Bowen. I think I'm convinced on Bowen. I think anything else is a bit short sighted. I also like on Bowen that you know he's playing almost as the nine now on the front. And I know that you know he's going to miss Kudus. He's going to miss Paqueta, but he's just a man. He returns every game. He just returns every game.
He's a very good finisher, I think. Very good finisher. And he's the thing that he's improved massively on is his heading. He gets into a bit like Jota in a way. He seems to be the free man on a lot of set pieces. And so I think whilst he's lost a lot of corners, which he had before Ward-Prowse, he's actually that predatory instinct. I mean, I don't know if you saw the second goal. I mean, he was centimetres away from tapping it in himself. So he does have that predatory instinct. So yeah, I do like that about him.
My recommended transfer is to bank. The AI still really likes Gordon, actually, which is interesting. He's fourth for the next for predicted points next four game weeks, even though they have got Liverpool, Villa, and City. But I just keep overlooking Bowen. I mentioned him weeks ago, and you know I was quite surprised how high Bowen was. My alternative, it says Palmer to Bowen. It prefers Gordon to Palmer, but I just think. I'll stick Palmer. He's a bit of a gift, isn't he? So, yeah, interesting stuff, gents. And like we say, it's really a thing because it's very easy to think short term now, but we've only got another 3 game weeks until February to play out. So we're
literally going from mayhem 7 game weeks in a month to almost like a barren spell where we'd be, you know, wanting more FPL in our lives. So yeah, it's a real sort of pivot point, isn't it?
Just before we go, we have a Christmas offer. Well, Christmas New Year offer, a present. If you want to use the full power of Fantasy Football Hub, you can do so now for a full 30 days for free. It includes our My Team feature, including recommended transfers for your own team, predicted points through artificial intelligence, dedicated WhatsApp groups for pro members, and so much more. Haven't got time to go through all of it. There's so much stuff. Don't forget, it's all on the Fantasy Football Hub app as well. An absolute no-brainer. If you want to do well at FPL, it's free for 30 days. Give it a go. You won't be disappointed. And this offer ends at the deadline tomorrow. Remember, it's absolutely free to try it for 30 days. Give it a go. If you don't like it, you can just cancel. No problem. And that is it from us this week and for 2023. Thank you so much. Somebody joined us in the chat this morning. It's the earliest we've ever done one, I think. Done and dusted by 9:45 in the morning. Thanks to those who are going to watch it back and those listening to the podcast versions. Your support is very, very, very much appreciated. Adam, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people get hold of you?
On X at HopToStats.
And thank you so much, Rich, as well. Where can people get hold of you?
No problem. At Rich Clark FPL on Twitter or X.
And my handle is at FFH_Fergie. This podcast and video will be in the Fantasy Football Hub YouTube channel with the podcast versions available on all major podcast platforms. A really good shout actually in the chat just quickly off Colin Bugler. Ivan Tony is going to be back available, I think, from Gaming 21. We haven't touched on him at all. That could be interesting, even though Brentford are a bit of a mess at the moment.
Yeah, I think someone's going to buy. I don't think he's going to be at Brentford by the end of January.
Same, yeah. I think if Arsenal buy him, I think Arsenal got a very good chance of the title this year. Yeah. If you like what you watched, please press the like button. Remember to subscribe to the channel at the bottom right hand corner of the screen. If you enjoyed your listen, please rate the podcast and leave a comment. We'll be back in 2 weeks, so there's no Premier League next weekend, as in next weekend, because the FA Cup. So we'll be back in 2 weeks previewing game week 21. In the meantime, we hope you have a great game week 20. Enjoy your new year with your loved ones, and may all your arrows be green. Good night, all.